Blog Talk Radio.
And me.
And Chris.
Yes.
And then we.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Wednesday, August 9th of 2023. Honestly, to me, it's hard to believe it's already August 9th. Seems to me like just a couple of days ago it was August 1st. So, like, can we please have the last week and a half before school starts go by slower? Please.
Right. Flying by.
It's flying by too fast.
Yep.
Come on.
Mm-hmm.
I got stuff I want to do.
Got stuff I want to do
at least before Labor Day.
I betcha.
Yeah. Like,
slow down a little bit.
Like, it, and by stuff, I mean not just the fair either.
Right.
I mean, like, you know, go to the beach, go to Lake City Beach.
Go
to Lake City Beach. Maybe go to Cadillac Beach. Go to
Tasty Treat ice cream.
Yeah, go. Yeah, I was trying to say this Wozone thing that I like, this inflatable thing that I like that's down by Detroit, and like some different things like that that I still want to do yet before the summer says goodbye. Unfortunately, it will say goodbye. I'm not happy to tell you this. I'm not happy to tell you that it's going to say goodbye.
No.
I don't want it to say goodbye. I want it to stay forever and ever and ever and ever.
So do I.
But unfortunately, when you live in Michigan, it's not the way it works in Michigan.
Seasons.
Yeah, it's seasons. It's actually the state law. Just kidding. No, it's not the government. It is actually, in fact, natural. It's just a fact of being in the North.
Yeah.
You knew I was kidding when I said it was state law.
Well, at first,
you
were like, what? And then
you were like, what? I didn't know that was a state law.
I'd be like,
you know, if anything, I'd be like, can Florida have the law that says that it stays warm forever?
Yeah.
Like what? In that case, why can't we have it?
Right.
Well, we're not far enough south for it. And if we did, we'd be in violation more than half the year.
Yeah.
And of course, if you're in violation of the law, you're lawless.
Yep.
And of course, you know, like, but I mean, in that case, but then again, there's what's so-called laws of nature.
Yes.
Which nature won't necessarily break its own. Laws. Like, I mean, and these laws weren't exactly past laws. These laws are just the way it works.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, like, but anyhow, that to say, it's so great that you're tuned into the program, regardless of where you may be, how you may be accessing the program. You know, even if you went back to school, you know, your children went back to school, hopefully you're still finding ways to enjoy the last few unofficial weeks of summer, because, you know, unofficially in America, we can still summer all Labor Day. So hopefully you're still finding ways to enjoy the rest of it, because I know for me, even when school starts back up, unofficially, it'll still be summer. So,
yeah.
So, you know, you got to take of it what you can get.
Yeah.
As they say, and you know, so unofficially, there's still 3.5 weeks left at least.
Yay.
But at least we got that. But,
right.
Yeah, but other than that, you know, it's great that you're with us. Summer is brought to you by your local McDonald's, where you can go grab yourself an ice cold Coca-Cola soft drink.
Yeah.
And simple joy of a summer day. I know I enjoy usually be in the car or outside or something, drinking my nice cool Coke from McDonald's oftentimes from the one that's near my house. that's oftentimes the one I most prefer to go to. It's the one right here near my house. You say, well, what about when you're out of town? Then I go to like other different places, you know, that have Coke, sometimes one with Freestyle. And Coke Freestyle, my go-to drink from the Coke Freestyle machines is oftentimes vanilla Coke or orange vanilla Coke, which is different. Oh, somebody's here.
Oh, it's me.
Oh, you got up.
I got up.
Oh, that was a little special surprise there. Where did you get?
Oh, stirred the spaghetti.
Yes. Not to let you in on any secrets or anything, just, you know, she's also known as one of my chefs, so
yeah.
She's making me some great stuff that I'll get to eat, you know, like, well, whatever. You know, some wonderful spaghetti. Some people will say biscotti, you know.
Spaghetti.
And guess what? If you're not a little kid and you still call it, and you still call it, biscotti, you know what? I have something to tell you. I love you. I'm not even going to say you're weird. I'm not even going to say you're dumb. I'm just going to say I love you.
Yes.
And I mean it. I love you.
Yes.
You're cool. You're
yes.
You're nice. You know, you're
no.
cool. You're cool. And at least you're showing that you can be nice and, you know, lighthearted and stuff.
Childlike is what
it
comes to be.
Yeah. So you want to call it biscotti? Have at it, you know. You know, even though I generally don't necessarily do that, I just thought of that for a second there.
That.
You know, like I don't normally do it, but every once in a while it comes to mind and I go, yeah, biscotti.
I love it.
You know, and it shows, you know, you're supposed to have that little kid still inside of you, you know, and you still remember and you should always have good things to remember of your childhood. And I feel bad for those who where all of their childhood that they can remember is trauma.
Yeah.
You have to feel bad for that, you know, and be like,
yeah.
And even ask God to help you remember the good things of your childhood,
mm-hmm.
you know, so that you don't always remember just the trauma.
Right.
Because some people have had terrible childhoods.
Yeah, they have.
For some people, it's been awful, you know, and I've tried to focus on the positives,
yeah.
you know, and when I've talked about, you know, even my childhood on the show and like when I was going through that medical stuff and that when I was younger, you know, part of why sometimes I like to talk about things like, you know, some of my favorite, like summer memories or what have you, like, or even fair memories. I can recall, so, you know, special fair memory to me that, and by special, I mean, it wasn't just another one day of the year that I went to the fair, you know, or whatever. When I say special fair memory,
yeah,
I mean, meaning like there was something about it that like really, and for me with some of the fair ones, there have been some of them like when I was like 19 or 20. So, so adulthood, but you know, nonetheless, you know, like, but I think one of my favorite memories, you know, as an adult of the fair was first year when they had G-Force and how I felt the first time riding it. I was 20 years old, but you know, I still felt like a kid in the candy store.
Yeah.
I did. I'm not calling 20 old. 20 is young, in fact, but I just mean, like, to me, I was super, 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 super excited to be on that thing. And I just, thought, you know, this thing.
That's the joy to remember.
Pretty awesome. Another good one that I have is the first big ride that I went to at a fair that was not a carousel or a merry-go-round, an actual big, legit thrill ride. And it was something called the Rainbow. It was called the Rainbow.
Oh.
It had been used by Wade shows since 1993. There have been other rides like that made since then. It went kind of high up in the air, but it's kind of a bridge between like rides like your Pharaoh's Fury pirate ship type thing.
Oh, okay.
And your rides that are like a pendulum type thing. Or, you know, different. There's different variations of it that include rides like Freak Out or now the Dreamliner now. And ones like that. So I remember the first one I went on, I was like 12. And I recall, you know, my brother was kind of talking to me and like, hey, you think you're going to fall out of your seat or nothing? And I was like, no, I'm fine. But I remember I was like, whoa, this thing is crazy. But at the same time, I loved it, you know? And I'm like, because at the time, you know, I was like, you know, about, you know, just a little over 100 pounds, like 105, 110 pounds, so like rather light. And you know, when you're light, your stomach flip-flops when you're on some of those.
Yes, it does.
Once you put on some weight, it doesn't feel quite as much.
Right.
And also as you get more used to them, but I don't find that they've gotten any less, that they've gotten, you know, necessarily less enjoyable, but I will say that I've gotten more used to them. Sadly, that was the only rainbow ride I would take, because the next year when I went to the fair, the rainbow was broke.
Oh.
2003, the rainbow was not there.
Oh.
Doggone.
Oh.
2004, different company took over, which later became an awesome company. That did not have a rainbow.
Oh, man.
So, and now I found out a few years ago that their Waitrose rainbow is no longer in operation.
Oh.
Even though the company that had it was a company called Wade Shows that did Midland County Fair for only
three years
from 2001 to 2003, and it was in 2001 that I rode it, that I took my expedition on it. And then the next year I decided to conquer a few more, including one that they had called the Skyrider, which... Does the name Skyrider for some reason kind of sound familiar to you for some reason? It had a little siren type thing on it, and it kind of went upside down.
Kind of reminds me of the skyscraper ones we have, but they're not skyscrapers.
Like throwing a fire?
No, there's like these ones that you lay on your belly and you fly.
That's the cliffhanger.
Cliffhanger.
But this one went kind of upside downy.
Oh.
Kind of upside downy, a little bit different from Ring of Fire, but also kind of like Ring of Fire at the same time. For those of you,
like the Super Loop.
Super Loop, because what were you going to say? When you guys were younger, you guys had something that was actually called a Super Loop.
Yeah, we had the Super Loop.
What was the Super Loop, or was it basically the same thing as Ring of Fire, but a different name, or less?
Yeah, Ring of Fire, basically the Ring of Fire, but the Super Loop.
But the difference is the Ring of Fire goes higher up and stuff?
Yeah, higher. That was bigger and higher. Super Loop was just a tad smaller.
A bit smaller.
So exciting and scary your first time.
But I think the Ring of Fire is more scary because sometimes you get left up there for a second.
I know, and it's like,
You didn't get left up there like that on the Super Loop, did you?
No, not very much. It would happen, I think it happened one time to my friend Stephanie, and she was like thinking it was never going to come down. She felt like she was falling out.
But the Ring of Fire, it's actually supposed to do that.
Yeah.
But the Super Loop, not necessarily.
Right. I thought that was just a weird thing that she got left up there that long.
It wasn't like the planned thing, like the Ring of Fire does.
Exactly.
Or many of us call it the Fireball. You forgot that so many of us kids called it the Fireball.
Yep, because it was Super Loop to us.
To y'all, it was Super Loop.
Super Loop.
Super Loop. Day Loop. Day Loop. And then like someone's like that, and the swing, the yo-yo, the one sometimes if you were younger, you'd have to take your shoes off.
Yeah.
Wouldn't they make
you
take them off, or just if they were sandals?
Yep, they would make you.
If they were sandals, you had to take off your shoes?
They're going to fall off, yeah. That's right.
So you got to ride. Yep, because I was going to say, I remembered riding that thing
now
shoeless.
What is the one now you take your shoes off? Really big one. Everybody likes it. It's the big one that
You can take them off if you want to, but that doesn't mean
you have to.
The freak out?
Freak out, yeah.
No, freak out, nobody takes off their shoes.
Oh, okay. When I feel like we did, probably just, and then I almost lost my flip-flop once. So good memories.
Yep, these going on a ride. And then one of your favorite memories from a summer with me was when we went on a, when we went on this Sea Ray boat type thing.
Oh, yes, that was so
in
good.
Auburn.
Yep, the big boat.
Yep, the, yep, she got on the boat. Thingy with me in Auburn.
Great.
And, you know, there's, yeah, and like those are good, you know, like these memories, like the last one I just gave you wasn't even childhood, but still, you know, you want to have good memories
right.
of your life.
To. He wants us to have joy. He died for us to have joy.
Yeah, he died for us to have joy, not for us, not for it to always be all meh,
right.
doom. Gloom, depression, oppression,
right.
you know,
amen.
Suppression.
I choose joy.
Yep, and sometimes as we just go through, you know, the day, we can have these little down moments and be like, why is it like this?
Right.
You know what I mean?
And
like,
then it changes.
But then it changes, and like God's, we know that God's on our side.
Yep.
And it's like
comes
knowing,
back to trusting Him,
and it, and knowing that He has our world in His hands,
amen.
And that. Nothing is impossible
nothing.
For him.
Nope.
Nor is anything too hard for him.
No.
He doesn't have anything where he says, oh, for me, that's too hard.
Right. I'm not showing up today. Nope. He
does. Yep. He doesn't do a no. Nope. He doesn't do the no-show thing.
Yep. He's there front and center. Just like you with your show.
Yep. Just like me with my show. Like, unless I'm like, out of town or doing something real important or something, I don't just random. I don't just do the random no-show thing. I just don't do it. I don't believe in doing it, so that's why I don't
keep
do
pushing.
It.
Keep going.
So I just keep
showing up,
going even whenever I don't feel like it. I still do it.
Yeah.
I still do it, and like
miracle
you know, and
man.
I love doing it, and
yeah.
the miracle. Man, you know, and I taught, you know, last night, if you missed last night, you can go back and listen to it. We talked about waiting on the Lord. Sometimes you have to wait for what that miracle is, for that, for it to manifest. Sometimes you have to wait. It's not always a McMiracle or an In-N-Out miracle or a Hot Now miracle or whatever your fast food choice might be, you know, your Sonic or whatever. Or whatever your drive-through of choice is.
Yeah.
It's not always the drive-by miracle.
No.
To like where it's done. To like where it's done before you can even say please.
Yeah.
And it's
awesome.
Because like when God does it, it's even quicker than like you know you giving him your money or card, you know, driving up to the thing, you know.
Yeah.
You know, assuming there's no cars in front of you, and then drive up. Window number three to get your stuff because you know I was because you know you go to a McDonald's and we'll say like you know you want you know nuggets fries coke we'll just say and like you so like you'll go up there you'll order your food you'll then you'll work your way through go to the first windows I'll tell you it's a certain amount at the window go to the window pay and then the next window you get your stuff but you know, with God, when it's the instant miracle, it just happens right there.
Amen.
It just happens. You don't even have to drive up. You don't even have to wait.
No.
But then other times, we have to wait.
Yeah.
We have to wait. Because this is not McDonald's. I'm sorry to tell you. I wish it was.
No, it's not instant gratification. you're going to wait. And it's even better, though, after when you wait and he just makes it blossom like a plant.
It makes it just blossom like a plant.
Yes, and that takes a few days.
A few years sometimes even, and longer.
Mm-hmm.
It's like how sometimes they might tell you, I'm sorry, but it's going to be a few minute wait on these nuggets or these fries.
You go, oh, I got to wait. We just don't know nowadays.
Because have you ever heard that when you've been through that drive-thru and they would have said, I'm sorry, but your stuff, it'll be a few minute wait on the fries.
Mm-hmm. And then you got to pull up.
Where?
And
It's like, what?
Yeah. We're so used to getting stuff so quick.
It's like we just think it's just going to show up instantly. We think it's just going to be instant.
Yep, and that's not the law, really.
But you can go go to the archives on blogtalkradio.com to hear that. That's one of the beauties of this thing is everything's archived. Everything I've done is archived. Everything we've done. It's been 6 years now.
Wow.
And it's been just over 6 years now. And you know what? I haven't given up.
No.
I haven't given up. I haven't slowed down. I haven't found a reason yet why I should.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm just proud of what God's done, and I just keep it going.
Thank you.
And I just know, you know, that He has everything I do in His hands.
Yes, He does.
And and you know something, listeners, He has all of you in His hands. And He has plans for you. And you know what? They're not plans to hurt you. They're not plans to hinder your life. That these are plans to give you hope in a future. That's what these plans are that He has in store for you.
Hope is a wonderful
hope thing. And a future.
Yes.
Sounds much better than hurt and no future.
Hopelessness
and no future.
That's one of the worst feelings I've ever felt, is hopelessness.
Is when you feel like there's no hope and no future.
Oh, it's just awful. Thank you, Jesus.
Or maybe you might feel like you have a future, but it's not a good future.
Yeah.
But nope. God has plans to prosper us and to give us hope and a future.
Yeah.
And
there's some water right there.
And it's a bright future. It's not some silly, dumb future that's not no good.
Nope. It's obviously something He died for, so it's pretty serious.
He died so we could have a good future.
Mm-hmm. Joy, memory, fair, love.
Love, joy, healings, finances, things that He has for us, you know, to meet, not just our needs, even though he wants us to have the things we need, but He even wants us to have the things that we enjoy as long as they don't take us from Him.
Mm-hmm.
He really does want us to. Like I told you the other day, listeners, about Jesse Duplantis, about him being on that motorcycle, and about how God had told him he was just, you know, enjoying in his enjoyment, which his enjoyment at the moment was being on his motorcycle. I hope it was a hog. I hope it wasn't one of those sweezy little, you know, quiet little Yamaha bikes.
Yeah.
No, I don't want one of these bikes that where it says might be quiet. I want a bike that says might get loud. Yep, I want a bike that says might get loud.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I do. I would actually like the motor to be singing that song and then revving it up.
Yeah.
And then it just, why can't I make it as loud as I want? And then be like that, and then it just gets real loud. That's what I want. And by loud, I don't mean wimpy.
No.
The full extent of the power.
Yes, power.
Because even though, you know, usually even when I talk about power in the sense on here, it's about, you know, the power of God. But when it comes to vehicles, I'm a power guy.
Yeah.
So if it was me driving, I'd want something with power.
Yeah.
I really would. It's not just because.
A lot of people want that. Like,
it's not just because I'm into the anointing. No, that's totally separate.
Mm-hmm.
That's totally separate. And some people who are big into that and maybe preachers themselves might be like, well, I want the power when it's the anointing, but when it's a vehicle, I'd rather it be nice and quiet.
Yep.
But I am. But when it comes to my vehicles, I would say I am the power guy.
Yes, you are.
I'm a power guy, and I'd be like, I want something that has lots of horsepower, you know. But also, I would like it to be able to have lots of horsepower, but also be able to hear every semi that's on the freeway.
Mm.
Every semi, not one or two of them, all of them
yes.
that are going either way that are right near you.
Okay.
Yeah, because I think those, because I think semis sound cool.
Yeah.
They really do, even though sometimes they cut the cars off.
Yeah, they're pretty big.
Speaking of which, I don't understand why some of you semi drivers have to cut our cars off.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you do that, semis?
Mm-hmm.
Why? Like, will you please brush up on that and not cut us off? Sometimes, though, they just, is it just because of their size? Sometimes they just can't help it.
Yeah, like Mom was on her way to Canada and there's a semi that kept going over the line, so they had to, I guess, Luann had to just, like, do some fancy footwork and get out of it. She had to swerve and...
When was this?
Yesterday.
I thought you said she did not go.
Nope, she did go. She did.
You thought they didn't.
Right, I'm like, I haven't heard from her. But she was in Canada, and she, the diesel, it's funny, they were just talking about that, too. The diesel almost took them out. Thank God they didn't.
But why do these semis do that?
I wonder if it's the wind, and they're so big. I don't know. But it's rare, though. I've never gotten in any problems with one.
But sometimes it's like, I mean, I love them, but I wish they could all find a way to not cut us off.
Uh-huh.
Jade, when you're driving your semi, don't cut us off.
Yeah, and Junior, Mark Junior.
Mark Jr., if you're listening, don't cut us off. We're looking.
We're watching.
I wish there was a way to hear when they were cutting us off.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow! Mm-hmm. I'd be
so
like,
many,
nope.
So many tires.
I'd be like, I wish there was a special noise that would make when they cut us off.
Yeah.
But there's not.
No. It's just us going,
ah! I wish it would be like the sound of a tire or something saying, nope.
Yep, nope.
Because then it would be telling them not to do it.
Exactly.
Like, oh, that's right. I shouldn't be cutting them off. Cutting off anybody, I mean.
Right.
Because, because some people, that's why they despise semis, even though they don't, even
mm-hmm.
though they might think the sound is cool. Because they've asked people multiple times, what do you think about the sounds of semis? And I think, they'll be like, yeah, well, it sounds cool, but I don't like how they, like, sometimes they drive and, like, how they, how take up the whole road and how they'll just...
Yeah.
You know, and some people will say that's the part of semis that they don't like.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, some of us, you know, how would we get our stuff without the semis?
Yeah.
But, because most everything you get in the store has to come from a semi.
Yeah.
If it didn't come by rail or plane, you know how it mostly came? A semi.
Yeah.
Even from the airplane, it had to come on a semi.
And
so, you know,
we need them.
So thank God for the truck drivers.
That's
they just
right. thank
need
you.
To, they just need to not take up the whole road, maybe.
Yeah.
And how do we make it so that they fold, so that they neatly fold up in our parking lot?
That'd be cool.
So that they can fit into all of our parking lots.
Uh-huh.
You know, maybe Jade, maybe you have an idea.
Yeah.
And that I don't know of.
The whole setup.
Maybe you found a way. Maybe you are supposed to invent it.
Yeah,
while you're in your hotel room, figure it out. Yeah, some of you other truckers, if you're listening, if you're at your truck stop, find a way.
Yep.
you know, because I love it. Be able to park, you know, in whatever lot because you just found a way to fold up your trailer and stuff and just because that way they'll be like, well, nope, I won't be in that lot. My semi, I can't park there. Because
nope.
Then it won't be, you know, because some people might look up, you know, do they have truck parking? But I would specifically mean semi parking
mm-hmm.
because, you know, because obviously when I think truck now, a lot, it can, you know, truck is not always just Silverado. And even truck drivers will refer to their semi as a truck rather than strictly a semi.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, the even our SUVs that we drive, so many of them are on truck chassis. Did you know that?
Mm-mm.
They are on truck chassis. Now, when we have like a minivan, they come on a car chassis. But our SUVs are on a truck chassis. Some of our SUVs have truck tires. Have you noticed that?
I didn't.
That's why some of the tires are bigger.
Oh.
Does it make sense then how a lot of our SUV tires are bigger than our car? Where our minivan tires are generally the same size as a small car's tires. So it makes sense now that it's because of the chassis.
Oh, okay. Never knew that.
But it because otherwise you would wonder, you know, why are the... That was something I actually learned, like, you know, I was like 13 or so.
Oh, wow.
By a guy that knew a lot of this handy stuff, you know, and, you know, that kind of thing. And so that makes sense then as to why it is how it is. And so like these SUVs drive in, unless they're crossover or something, these are essentially mini trucks. These are just trucks that are like just a little bit bigger than our cars. And like the
like
those are just trucks, but these other semis, those are trucks. Trucking for Jesus.
Trucking for Jesus. Men love their that thrill, that excitement, that power. And that's childlikeness still at that age.
Trucking for Jesus. You know, I think that would be a cool thing.
It would be pretty cool.
For some of the startup. But I'm going to make the announcements I normally make real quick and then get into a couple of songs and get into the Word of God. So first of all, the first thing I want to remind you about is about the book, Rivers of Miracles. It's the story of my life and how great God has been over the years. And it's been so great to watch him move mightily on my behalf. And I just know he's not done. But you can, and how he's healed me of so many different things. And I know he's not done with me yet. He's not done healing with me. He doesn't say, I can't find where he says, okay, I'll only heal you from this many things. And then you've exceeded your allotted amount of healing. I'm trying to find that. And if he did have that, you know, why would we still serve him? You know? But part of why I still serve him is because I know he does not have the you have exceeded thing on him. And he hasn't said, he's never said, there's nothing more I can do for you. You know, and when you, as long as you stay in covenant with him, you know, he'll just keep working on you. And that's what's great about God. He has patience. Beyond what, I think he has more patience than all of us on earth put together.
Oh, I believe so.
Yeah, because so many of us, we're so impatient. We don't want to wait. We don't want to wait, you know, but...
Love is patient.
Love is patient. That's why, you know, I've been, you know, keep waiting on the Lord, you know, living my life and not getting all irritated just because he hasn't done it. But you go online to riversofmiracles.com, R-I-V-E-R-S of miracles.com, to find out information about the book and how you can get the book into your hands. Amen. The other thing I want to remind you about really quick is about the PayPal. You can go online to paypal.com in order to sow a seed into the Miracle Man program. And keep in mind that as you sow your seed, it's up to you how much you sow. I do not even tell you how much you're supposed to give. I don't even sit here. I didn't even put up on the thing, you know, oh, we totally ask that you give a gift of this many dollars. I don't even do that. But I figure, you know, that you'll give as you desire in your heart and as the Lord tugs on you that you should. And if he's tugging on you to give and you're not doing it, then you really should give then. Don't get yourself in trouble with God, please. But other than that, no pressure. We're no pressure here. No pressure. I don't want to do the pressure thing here, you know. But you can go online to paypal.com in order to sow your seed. And when you get on there, you'll see a search bar. In the search bar, you'll type in Rivers Shukla. That is Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S. The last name is Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. And there's a space between Rivers and Shukla. In addition, the first R in Rivers and then the S in Shukla are capitalized. So please, if you would kindly, make a note of that. Mm-hmm. And I would greatly appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the verse I want to sow into your life tonight is give a portion unto seven and also to eight, for you do not know the evil that is coming in the day that you live in. We don't know. But if we were to take up seven or eight offerings, you should give in each of those. And so, you know, that's just a verse that was in my mind. And it's one I hadn't really used. I knew about it, but I hadn't used it. But, okay. Now I'm going to sing a couple of songs and then get into the word of the Lord for tonight. And it's going to be just great, as I know it is. It always is.
Because
his word is, his word really is majestic. I am chosen, I am free, I am living for eternity. I'm free now forever. May I approach your throne in Christ my own. I'm yours now forever. Nothing's gonna hold me back. Nothing's gonna hold me back. Nothing's gonna hold me back. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I'm alive to live for you. I'm alive to live for you. Amazing love, how can it be? You gave everything for me. You gave everything for me, everything. You washed my sin and shame away, freely gave, so freely gave. I'm yours now forever. Quickly I approach your throne, now is I in Christ my own. I'm yours now forever. Yes. Nothing's gonna hold me back. Nothing's gonna hold me back. Nothing's gonna hold me back. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I'm alive to live for you. I'm alive to live for you. Amazing love, how can it be? You gave everything for me. You gave everything for me. I'm free to live. I'm free to give. I'm free to be. I'm free to love you. Free to be. Live free to give. I'm free to be. I'm free to love you. I'm free to live. Free to give. I'm free to be. I'm free to love you, Lord. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I'm alive to live for you. I'm alive to live for you. Amazing love, how can it be? You gave everything for me. You gave everything for me. My chains fell off, my heart was free. I'm alive to live for you. I'm alive to live for you. Amazing love, how can it be? You gave everything for me. You gave everything for me, yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You said to us, seek my face. our hearts reply, your fears we see. And no wish my soul desire is upon the greater thing. We have gathered one thirst, hunger, here to cry out, come and fill this place, this place. Come and fill this place, this place. We wait for you to come and show your glory here today. Lord, we wait for you to come and show your glory here today. We wait for you to come and show your glory here today. Yes, we wait for you to come and show your glory here today. We wait for you, yes. We wait for you. Yes, we wait for you, yes, Lord. We wait for you. Hallelujah, come. Hallelujah, come. Hallelujah, come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, come. Hallelujah, come. Hallelujah, come. Hallelujah, come. Hallelujah, come. Oh, we wait for you to come and show your glory here today. Yes, we wait for you to come and show your glory here today. Yes, we wait for you to come and show your glory here today. Yes, we wait for you to come and show your glory here today. We wait for you. We wait for you. Hallelujah, come. Hallelujah, come. Yes, hallelujah, come. Hallelujah, come. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes,
thank you,
thank
Jesus,
you
for what you are to us, what you are in us, what you are for us. Thank you, Lord God, that you show up in our lives, that you have, you for what you have for us. Thank you for the plans you have for us. They are plans of good. They are plans of good. They are not plans of evil. They are plans that you have made. You've made them. You've designed them. And I just know that you will follow through with them. In your name, I know.
Yes.
It's you that made them. It's not me. It's not one of us. You did it. And I thank you, Master, for that. Thank you for what you're going to do. Thank you for what you've started, for what you're going to do, for what you've already done. And I just thank you for that. And I just know that you have it. I just know that you've designed great things for us. And I thank you for this time and your word tonight, that as we study your word, that you reveal yourself to these people. And I thank you that you meet every need represented on this program tonight, because you know what these people need. You know what they need. You're Jehovah Rapha. You're Jehovah Jireh. You're the God who meets all their needs. You're the God who high and lofty. Thank you, Lord God, for all that. Thank you for that in your name, Jesus. And I thank you, Lord God, for that these people just receive everything that you have for them tonight in your matchless, wonderful name. And now I make my confession over this program, that sponsors and partners come to this program, that finances come to this program, that more and more listeners come into this program. And I thank you for the huge amount of souls coming into your kingdom as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' name, amen, and amen, and amen, and amen. All right. I'm going to go to Exodus 13, if you would go there, please. And we're going to see what all God has for us.
There's water too right there if you need some.
Just going to take a sip at the moment, because I think right now would be a good well
time to look for Exodus.
If you went to Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, you know, great books, but you went too far.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, for some of you who have just started reading the Bible, so you kind of know where Exodus is. Of course, there's
pretty
Genesis
close.
First.
Yeah.
Then there's
Exodus
after.
Oh, all right.
Yep. So that's how you can find book number two. So,
got it.
Yep. Thank you. Yep. For chapter 13, I'm gonna thank Jesus. The Lord said to Moses, consecrate to me every firstborn male, the first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belongs to me, whether man or animals. Then Moses said to the people, consecrate this day, the day you came out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery, because the Lord brought you up out of it with a mighty hand. Eat nothing containing yeast.
What?
There goes your donut. But we don't have to worry about that now. Thank you, Jesus, for that. But nonetheless, today in the month of Abab, you are leaving when the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Hivites, and Jebusites, the land that he swore to your forefathers to give you, a land flowing with milk and honey. You are to observe this ceremony in this month. For 7 days, eat bread made without yeast, and on the seventh day, hold a festival to the Lord. Eat unleavened bread during these 7 days Nothing with yeast in it is to be seen among you.
What?
Nor shall any yeast be seen anywhere within your borders.
What? No donuts?
What?
On that day, tell your son, I do this because of what the Lord did for me when I came out of Egypt. This observance will be for you like a sign on your hand and a reminder on your forehead that the law of the Lord is to be on your lips. For the Lord brought you out of Egypt with his mighty hand. You must keep this ordinance at the appointed time year after year. After the Lord brings you into the land of the Canaanites and gives it to you, as he promised on oath to you and your forefathers, you are to give over to the Lord the first offerings, offspring of every woman. I know all the firstborn males of your livestock belong to the Lord. Redeem for a lamb every firstborn donkey. But if you do not redeem it, break its neck. Redeem every firstborn among your sons. In days to come, when your son asks you, what does this mean? Say to him, with a mighty hand, the Lord brought us out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. When Pharaoh stubbornly refused to let us go, the Lord killed every firstborn in Egypt, both men and animals. This is why I sacrifice to the Lord the first male offspring of every womb and redeem each of my firstborn sons. And it will be like a sign on your hand and a symbol on your forehead that the Lord brought us out of Egypt with his mighty hand. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through the Philistine country, though it was shorter. God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. God led the people around the desert road toward the Red Sea, and the Israelites went up out of Egypt, armed for battle. Moses took the bones of Joseph with them because Joseph had made the sons of Israel swear an oath. He had said, God will surely come to our aid. And then, turning the page, you must carry my bones up with you from this place. After leaving Succoth, they camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By day, the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, chapter 14 also, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near Pin Hapoth, between Migdal and the sea. They are to encamp by the sea, directly opposite Baal Zephon. Pharaoh will think, the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion. demanded, dimmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites did this. And when the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, "What have we done? We've let the Israelites go, and we've lost their services." So he had his chariot made ready, took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots, along with all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites, who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Pi-Hahiroth, opposite Baal Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. And they said to Moses, "Was it because there were no grapes in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance that the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. And the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground." So what he was saying to these people were, to Moses and the people, "Hey, instead of sitting here and complaining, go."
Yeah.
Go. He said go. He didn't say sit here and whine.
Right.
Because some of us will feel like we're just in a tough spot, like between a rock and a hard place.
Uh-huh.
Like we can feel like for a second between where we were and where we're going to be, we can feel like, oh, we're between a rock and a hard place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's where they were at the second. They're between a rock and a hard place.
Sure thing.
And they're like,
they had to trust.
And they're like, well, what do we do?
Oh.
But then God says, instead of just sitting here, go!
Yep.
Then the Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff, stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots, you have horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side, so neither went near the other all night long. Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and all the night the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided. The Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left side. The Egyptians pursued them, and all Pharaoh's horses and chariots and horsemen followed them into the sea. During the last watch of the night, the Lord looked down from the pillars of fire and cloud at the Egyptian army and threw it into confusion. He made the wheels of their chariots fall off so that they had difficulty driving. And the Egyptians said, "Let's get away from the Israelites. The Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak, the sea went back to its place. Splash! The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea, and water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen. The entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea, not one of them survived. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground with a wall of water on their right and on their left. The day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of Egypt, it says, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the great power that the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses, his servant. But then, so you see here, you say, what does this have to do with us? As we go through this life, you know, we go through different things and different trials and different things like that. I think of even when we went through the whole COVID situation, you know, the whole pandemic, plandemic, mandemic, you know, scamdemic, whatever you want to call it, demic. Yeah, it was a scam.
Yeah.
It was a sham. It was a plandemic, mandemic, done by man.
Yeah.
It was a pandemic, but it was also all that other stuff I just said. So it was all that stuff all into one crazy thing. But you see, here's the thing about that. We were not supposed to reopen. At least the church wasn't supposed to reopen. Did you know that the church was not supposed to reopen its doors?
No.
It was not supposed to reopen its doors, technically. You know, the plan,
anyway.
The plan with the whole COVID thing, the plan was that the church would be locked down forever. That was the plan.
Oh.
Thank God they did not succeed.
Yeah. No way, man.
The plan of the wicked was thwarted. The plan of the wicked was stopped.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
Because people stood up.
Yep.
Because people stood up and people prayed. You know, and it was like, that was like a parting of the Red Sea moment.
Yeah.
You know, and when people began to realize, you know, they're taking away our liberties. Because at first it was so easy, you know,
yeah.
for so many of us to think, you know, and we would, some of us would even watch those case numbers and think, okay, yeah, it's getting better. There's less cases or they're not dying as much
mm-hmm.
and things like that. And then we would hear things like, now listen, folks, you don't measure it in cases. You measure it in hospitalizations and deaths.
Mm-hmm.
And that's which is true. And then we found out also so many of these people that they said died of COVID actually died of other things.
Yeah.
They had other morbidities in that. Maybe they have heart things. Maybe they were just of old age. And it happened to be that they had tested positive for COVID.
Yep, and they were supposed to pass a...
That they were supposed to pass. They were
all scared.
And they wanted us to be scared. They did not want us
to fear the Lord. They wanted
us to fear them. They wanted us to be afraid.
Mm-hmm.
But then God, you know, parted that Red Sea and, you know, made a way for us to be back open and for us to be people now going back to these countries to preach the gospel in real life and not just doing it all virtual either.
Yeah.
You know, and that was a big victory when I heard of preachers going back to doing things abroad, mission work abroad.
Yeah.
And not just having to do it, you know, stateside.
Yeah.
Because America's always been big on giving aid to other countries
mm-hmm.
and sending missionaries to other countries. But hey, America needs help too.
Yeah.
And that's where a guy like Rodney Howard Brown, who I love, came into America and has been seen as a missionary to America.
Right.
And that's why I enjoy him. Part of why I enjoy
yeah.
him. He stood up for the church when he got arrested in his church. You know, when he got arrested actually at his house in Florida, even though he had been holding services at his church in Tampa, you know, just outside on the east side of the city limits of Tampa, Florida, in Hillsborough County. Turns out that sheriff arrested his friend. He arrested his friend, like for whatever legal reason he felt like he had to do that. But you know, he literally admitted later, you know, the sheriff arrested his friend, you know. But, you know, and then, he forgave the sheriff even. And he even admitted that he still had a great relationship with that sheriff after the fact.
Right.
And the sheriff came to his house and they had a meal together and stuff, you know. And it was a nice talk.
How long was he in jail?
40 minutes.
Oh.
40 minutes.
It's like 40 days and 40 nights.
Nope.
40 minutes.
40 minutes.
And
yep, but you know what? He fell asleep and was at peace.
All right.
He fell asleep and was at peace.
Awesome.
You know.
What's his name again?
Rodney Howard Brown. And that's that guy I told you about. Remember,
yeah.
I showed you some of him and like how he,
yeah.
you know, he has that cool accent and that. But you know, God has used him so much.
Hey.
You know, and it's been great to see what God has done, and he's been doing the stand at his church ever since then. Much of it he's not teaching anymore unless it's Sunday or Wednesday, but
cool.
you know, that. But they continue to stand because there's places in the world that can't stand.
Yeah.
There's countries that can't, that cannot stand. They can't have church. We can. We don't have to have underground church in America. I'm so thankful that we don't have to.
No, I need his word.
I'm so great. I'm so thankful that we don't have to do underground church
exactly.
in this country. That God parted a Red Sea
yep.
for us.
Mm-hmm.
But He can part a Red Sea in you you know, in your own life too, he can part that sea. In your own life, you know, and there's been different things, you know, and I've had different moments, you know, like where, you know, where there was that Red Sea moment for me, and it was parted, and I was able to just go right through it, and God was able to make that difference for me, you know, and he was, you know, and I was able to know, and I just felt it was God that did it, and like even things when I didn't know if I could do it, but he helped me get through it, and you know, and so, you know, even when it seems like, because those Israelites, when they were sitting there, they were sitting there groaning. They were sitting there complaining.
I know. It would have been better to go back.
They were like, oh, only, I just want back. I just want to go back. It would be like some of us now, if they were like, I just want to go home and watch TV. It's summer. I just want to go lay in my hammock. Some of you might be thinking that. It's summer. I want to go lay in my hammock. I don't want to go to church.
And they even, after they split the Red Sea, also forgot quickly.
Yep, later on they forgot. It's like you forgot.
That Red
Sea
was parted in front of us, but he does things in our lives too that feels like parting the Red Sea, and
yep.
We so easily can
sometimes
forget.
we can forget and get back to, sometimes we even get back to our whining and complaining again because something's not how we want it.
That's our flesh.
Because our flesh has certain wants.
Yep.
You know, things that it goes, well, it's your flesh and your brain and it'll cause you to go, well, I wish this.
Yeah.
I wish that. I wish.
I don't have that.
I didn't
provide.
But he's a...
says, fear me.
Because Jehovah Jireh is my provider.
Yes.
And I don't just have to sit here and
wonder
or wish or
like
I wish, I hope.
Like he took a nap in jail. That's what's up.
Yep.
Be still, he says.
Because let me tell you what Jesus said, folks. Peace, be still.
Yeah.
That's what he said. He didn't say, sit here and keep whining. He said, peace be still.
Mm-hmm.
And to the Israelites, he said, to Moses, he said, tell them to cross the sea. Tell them to cross it.
Oh, that'd be so amazing.
Yeah, he told them, just cross it. And you know what he did for them to make it, you know, easy? He had a wall of water on their right and their left.
And dried the sand.
So it made it easy for them to be able to cross.
So he even did take the chariot's wheels before he swept them. He made the wheels.
Yep, he made the wheels fall off.
That's awesome.
And for a while, for so long, Rodney Howard Brown had prayed that in his church. Pull the wheels off of Pharaoh's chariot.
Yeah.
And then everybody would get all excited when he would say that. That whatever's been planned will come to naught. Because there have been things planned. There have been wicked things planned. There have been.
Yep.
Because, and I'm thankful for Rodney Howard Brown, who studies this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And that he knows the stuff, and he's found out things about the system. And so much of this system, you know, that we've been dealing with, it's been going on for a lot of years.
Yeah. Isn't it like they're the Egyptians? Like the world?
Could be like that, you know what I mean? It's a bit like that, like hearing, you know, and it's like, and so,
yeah,
you know, and even here in America with the political parties, it's like they've both almost been run by the same companies.
Yeah.
Yet at least, the thing is at least one of them put some nice stuff and a Bible behind it, but the other one doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
You know, But you knew that too, that it was like they're controlled by the same company. You remember hearing that somewhere, right?
Well, I know that there isn't it the world, flesh, and the devil all in one. Like
there's that too, but I mean in reality
they're
it's almost like they're ran by the same company.
Oh yeah,
you remember hearing that somewhere?
Like the fair, like it's ran by one company, right?
Well, like the, or what we mean by that, we mean, you mean the rides at the fair.
Right.
The other vendors who bring stuff to the fair,
that's,
you know, they're separate. These are like entrepreneurs. Many of them are entrepreneurs who have developed their product and have brought it to the fair and use it like for their selling place for the fair, like Red Barn and stuff.
Yeah, merchants, all that.
Like, isn't Red Barn like just a couple from here in the Midland County area or something?
I think so, yeah, just a little family.
And all they do is make fries at the fair. Is all they do as far as at the fair.
So good.
Like that. Like they probably have other jobs they do outside of that, but.
Yeah, for sure.
But
under the same company, right?
But under the same like little thing they've done. Well, are the Fiskies the same way?
No, they're more of a. I don't know what a franchise, maybe a franchise. They seem like they're definitely thinner fries, so.
But the Red Barn is one company
that's just
here in Midland.
Oh, yeah, just them.
And all they have is, like, fries and soda.
Yep.
No burgers, no nothing?
I don't think they have burgers. They might have hot dogs, but mostly fries. People go there for the big chili fries, chili cheese fries. The girls always get one.
Yep, and in a couple of days, I'm going to go get me my parking ticket.
Yay, it's coming up.
Because that way when I'm not with y'all, I still got a way in there.
Exactly.
Because not everybody will always just park in the old, by the old Lowe's.
Right.
But anyhow, that's besides the folks are just talking about, you know, a little bit of advertisement for the county fair next week is all. But nonetheless, you know, that it's that Red Sea, and he parted it for us, you know, and you think, and then also in that previous chapter where everyone was they were consecrated. We're to be consecrated. We're to consecrate ourselves before God as holy. Not to explain exactly what it means, but it means like, you know.
Surrender
yourself, you know. Surrender yourself to Him. Surrender your life to Him.
Yeah.
That means in order to be rendered, you have to first surrender.
Yeah.
You have to be first surrender. And by surrender, I don't mean specifically like how people will, how a criminal will later surrender themselves to the police and just be, okay. But okay, I mean, like, okay, you win.
Right.
Because once they surrender, that's basically what it means.
Mm-hmm.
It's, okay, you win.
Yeah, I give up. It's not that surrender. I'm giving you my all.
I'm giving you my all.
And I have to do that a lot during the day. It's not just a one-time thing for me.
Right.
You know, I got to be doing that all day.
As opposed to just, I give it to Him and then it stays.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us have to surrender a lot more than others.
Mm-hmm.
But
my mind.
But when you're in church, you know, when you're in the house of God, you really should be surrendering.
Full surrender there.
You should be, because stuff gets on you.
There's
stuff that gets on there. Even when you think you're all good and you feel like, oh, I don't need to surrender. Well, you should.
Oh, yeah.
You can be like, well, I think I'm good. I haven't said anything I shouldn't have said lately, not necessarily. I haven't, I haven't taken the Lord's name in vain. I haven't said anything disrespectful about God. I haven't done, stuff like that. But stuff will get on you. Thoughts will get on you.
Yeah, our flesh is still there trying to fight, so we have to keep surrendering.
Because even thoughts, even if we think we've done okay with our mouth, we have to watch our mind.
Yeah.
That's why we have to surrender.
Put that helmet of salvation on so I don't forget and think I'm all doing it all on my own. And really, he's like, surrender.
He's like, surrender to me.
Surrender, I'm right here.
I hear you. I know where you are. I know what you're doing.
Yep.
I hear you. I hear you. Just like what I was told about the ride. I was told you got to get a ticket.
Got to get a ticket. I still do.
But Yep, and he said, well, you get a ticket. Yep, next week, listeners, when it's Fair Week, I'll actually tell you folks about what that story was all about. And what.
Yeah.
But then, my Lord, thank you for this tonight. Thank you that you are the God who parts the sea.
Mm.
You're the God who fights for us. You're always fighting for us.
Mm.
Even when we think, you know, we might not know, is it going to get better or not? Or we may feel like I'm stuck in this situation right here. I'm stuck in this place. I'm between a rock and a hard place. Help me, God. Help, help, help. We might feel like we're in that spot. We might feel like there's no way out. But thank you, Lord God, that you are fighting for us, that you are the way out. You are the way out. You're the way, the truth, and the life. And I thank you, Lord God, for that you know, we can live our lives knowing this, and that we don't have to live our lives afraid, go through stuff afraid. Because just going through stuff can make us all afraidish. Even if we trust in you, it can just cause.
Mm-hmm.
I thank you, Lord God, that you know the answers. And I thank you, God, for what you're doing in us, and that we would be doers of your word, and that we would surrender and consecrate ourselves to you in our lives, in Jesus' name. And now I speak Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. I say that no evil shall befall us, no plague shall come nigh our dwelling, for you have given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. I say that no drugged or drunk driver, no rapist, no burglar, no murderer, no suicide, no sickness, no disease, no fire, flood, or crash, none of this evil stuff is going to come near us or our immediate loved ones. We're going to live in great peace and great joy, and be a powerful witness for you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
And until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.
Oh, I love this one.
Yes.
Good job, Rick.